The sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And then they got into the boat, and the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, our text for this morning follows hot on the heels of the feeding of the 5,000. Well, more than 5,000. As the scripture says, the number of men were 5,000 besides the women and the children. Now, I think we would call that a mountaintop experience, something where you experience a joy and a glory that doesn't normally happen during your everyday life. Some 150 gallons of wine made at a wedding feast were small potatoes next to this feast made by Jesus with the bread and the fishes. The disciples see Jesus do something no man can do. They get a peek into Jesus' power with the loaves and the fish he feeds many thousands of people. And that's pretty awesome. It's one of those instances where people want to press in on Jesus and they want to make him a king, but not the kind of king Jesus came to be. They want him to be a bread king, a king who satisfies all their earthly desires and all their earthly needs and takes care of all their earthly problems. So at the end of the meal, Jesus does what the disciples wanted him to do in the first place, which was dismiss the crowds. Then Jesus makes an unexpected move. He asked the disciples to get in the boat and row ahead of him to the other side. So the disciples were to leave Jesus there on the far side of the sea and proceed on without him. Now Matthew doesn't tell us either the reason why Jesus did this, neither does Matthew tell us the disciples' reaction to Jesus' request that they get in the boat and start heading to the other side of the sea ahead of him. What we do know is that immediately Jesus set the disciples to work, the work of rowing back across the sea. Now, what did they think of leaving Jesus? Who knows? Who knows? The sea, though. There is the sea. The sea with monsters lurking under your feet. The sea that represents the uncontrollable power and might and chaos of our existence. The sea, as the old map said, "There be dragons here." The sea, the home of Leviathan and Rahab, the great serpent of chaos. Now we have no indication that the disciples were afraid when they were on the boat or that they were really in any sort of distress. They were working hard, and John in his gospel relates to us that they had, in the hours they were on the water, only gotten about 3 to 4 miles into their journey. So they were laboring, but they weren't getting very far. And we all know what that feels like, whether it's in our secular lives, working hard but not seeming to make any ground, or in our sacred lives, our spiritual lives. Lots of hard work, but seeming to not gain much ground. Like the wind and the waves of the sea, the mythical monsters that are there, we seem to have our own spiritual monsters against us. A dragon that impedes our progress. And it is written in Revelation chapter 12, which our opening hymn reflected. "Now war arose in heaven, Michael and his angels fighting against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was defeated, and there was no longer any place for him in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to earth, and his angels were thrown down with him." And again it is written in Revelation chapter 13, "And I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 diadems on its heads." And that great dragon, the deceiver of the nations, is thrown down to earth. And with him came all his fallen angels, as the heavenly messenger told Daniel. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, the chief prince of our people, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia, and came to make you understand what is to happen to your people in the latter days. So anyway, there is work to be done. There is work to do. And there are dragons also. And the disciples are out laboring on the sea, and somewhere between 4 and 6 in the morning, Jesus comes to them walking on the water. Now what do we see here? The word of creation makes the entire creation submit to his will. With each step, just by his will, Jesus rearranges the molecules under his feet and makes solid ground as he walks across the top of the water. And when he lifts his foot, those molecules revert to water molecules, and they just simply melt back into the sea. The importance here is that Jesus will later take the bread of the Passover meal. And he will break the bread and say, "This is my body." Then he will take the cup of the wine in the Passover meal and he will say, "This is my blood." Now if the Jesus who says to the wind and the waves, "Quiet, be still," and the Jesus who rearranges earth so he can walk on it, rearranges the water so he can walk on it, says, "This is my body, this is my blood," then we can be confident that it is exactly what Jesus says it is. We also see Jesus subduing chaos and making the uncontrollable obedient to his will. The disciples are scared. Yes, they're scared because they think Jesus is a ghost or some type of apparition. And in their fear, they cry out. But Jesus does not let them fret. Here's our second immediately. In their labor, in their fear, Jesus immediately says, "Take heart, be of good courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Now at this point we might think that Peter is being bold in his faith. "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you." But what is Peter really doing? He's really doubting that the Lord, that it's actually Jesus out there on the water. He is doubting Jesus' word. "Give me proof," he says, "that it's you. Call me out to you so that I too may walk on the water." Jesus doesn't upbraid Peter. He just simply says to Peter, "Come." One word. Come. Peter walks out on the water. And he walks to Jesus. But feeling the wind whipping around him and seeing the waves thrashing in front of him, he begins to doubt. He gets scared, and for the second time he doubts. He takes his attention off of Jesus and he puts his attention on all the turmoil and the trouble and the chaos surrounding him. And what does he do? He begins to sink. And then he cries out to Jesus to save him. And does Jesus say? Does he say, "Have you learned your lesson yet?" He doesn't say that. He rescues Peter and gets him a nickname, almost gives him a nickname right there in the, after the rescue. He says, "Oh, you little faith." Right? Not rock man this time, not man of rock, but it is little faith. "Oh, you little faith, why did you doubt?" When both Jesus and Peter are in the boat, the wind ceased and all the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The disciples had seen Jesus feed thousands. They had seen him walk on the water. They had seen him rescue Peter. And they have experienced the sea obey him. And being familiar with the Old Testament scriptures, they worship him as the Son of God. What was likely in their head? Psalm 107, "He stilled the storm to a whisper and the waves of the sea were hushed." Psalm 93, "Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty." Psalm 89, "You rule the raging of the sea, and when its waves rise, you still them." And then from Isaiah 43, verse 2, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and though through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you." We're seeing something. We're going to take something away from this morning. We're going to walk away with a point. When we take our eyes off Jesus, we start to sink. And Jesus is there to rescue and to save us. And what a point are we also bringing this to? We've been fed by Jesus. We've been fed by Jesus in more ways than one. We have been fed with the Word of God. We have been fed with the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the sacrament of the altar. We have, each and every one of us, seen the miracle of Jesus feeding us. We, each of us, all of us, have been set to work on the sea of this life. Our congregation has been given a mission, and that mission is to spread the reign of God the Lord, to spread the message of the forgiveness of sins in the blood and merit of Jesus, to proclaim the one true God to the community that is around us. And does it seem like the ancient dragon, the serpent, and his evil angels are against us? Well, it should seem like that, because they are. And should we be afraid of the work that is set before us? No, we shouldn't be afraid of the work that is set before us. The disciples weren't afraid of the wind and the waves as they rowed across the sea. And we shouldn't be afraid of being buffeted by the chaos of life or the opposition and the deceptions of the enemy, that great dragon. We, like the disciples, keep rowing on the sea. We keep rowing against the wind. Is it hard? Yeah, it's hard. But like the disciples, we hang in there. And in this case, we should not be like Peter, who doubts Jesus' words and doubts among the turmoil that he was in. But even when we are scared, when our sin seems insurmountable, and when even we, like Peter, could be called by the diminutive, "Oh, you little faith," then we still trust Jesus. We must trust Jesus. And when we start to sink, we cry out, "Lord, save me." We think of the hymn, "What wondrous love is this? What wondrous love is this? Oh my soul, oh my soul. Oh, what wondrous love is this, oh my soul. What wondrous love is this that caused the Lord of bliss to bear the dreadful curse for my soul, to bear the dreadful curse for my soul." When I was sinking down, sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down, sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down beneath God's righteous frown, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul, for my soul. Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. Trust the words of Jesus. For it is Jesus who says, "Lo, I am with you always." Trust the command of Jesus. Go and make disciples, and he will be with you every step of the way. Is running a congregation and a school hard work? Yeah, it is. Are we quitters? Nope. Are we doubters? No to that one, too. Are we going to be in there swinging on the Lord's side? Sure thing. Yes, we are. And when and if we are little faith, we trust that the Lord will still the wind, and we will keep rowing to the far shore of that land that we call the promised land. And when we get there, we will have all the peace that we ever desired. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace that passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.